We're joined now by our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, courtesy of Bud Light and official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. Mr. Dater, how are you, sir?
Doing good, Dan. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Big night, just about 13 minutes ago, something like that. You broke the news. Gabriel Landeskog, by the way, I did enjoy your Twitter last night. Somebody's giving you a hard time about something. You're going to call yourself a beat writer, how'd you, blah, blah, blah. And you just write, I hereby resign. Like, what do you want, moron? I thought that was funny.
Yeah. No, I get a few of those every now and then. But he may be right. But,
yeah. So, but yeah, our news for this evening, Gabriel Landeskog. So the Avs showed out some bucks. We had Cale Makar. How many hours ago was Cale Makar? And now we have Gabe Landeskog. 8 years, is that right, sir?
Yeah, breaking news. 8 years, $7 million per year. So 8 times 7, 56. I think that's what they taught me in my last math class, Dan.
But, yes. Just a few years ago, your last math class.
Yeah,
just a couple years ago.
couple centuries.
And how old will he be then by the time he collects that $56 million?
So 8 years from now, I'll be 65, Dan.
Well, not you. Gabriel. How old will Gabriel be?
Okay. Yes. Well, I thought everything was about me in the end.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So Gabriel is 28 now, so he will be 30. He'll almost be 37 when the time the contract runs out officially. He will be 36 when it really runs out, but he'll be like 37 a couple months later.
And I thought I saw on your Twitter that he said that was the eighth. So was there an option there? Because I saw on your Twitter to him that eighth year was really the make or break. That was when he said, okay, yeah, I'm in. Is that right?
Yeah, because the Avalanche were the only team in the league as of tonight, at 10 o'clock Mountain Time, that could offer 8 years on a contract. So obviously it sounds like, and I don't have the full DNA of the whole deal yet, but it obviously sounds like the Avs gave in on that eighth year. That might have been the one of the sticking points. I do believe that there was a final decision by the Landeskog camp to either take an average annual value of $7 million per year, or maybe test the market and get $9 million for 7 years, which would be the only the max contract he could get. So the Avs came through in the end with that eighth year. I think that's what pushed us over the top. And because the Avalanche had the home court advantage of him being their own property still until tomorrow in the old contract, they were able to sweeten the pot in the end, and that got the deal done.
Okay. Now, am I correct in saying this? I thought I saw you saying just yesterday or the day before that things were not looking so good. Landy was getting a little bent out of shape about how these negotiations were going. How did things turn around?
I think that wasn't last night, Dan. That was like two or three nights ago. So, but a lot changed hands in those last two or three days. Either way, if I did say it last night, I
don't know what it was. I said maybe a couple nights ago. Whenever it was.
There we go. Things change faster in this deal, Dan.
Yes.
In the end, the Avalanche came up on their offer a little bit, I think. They took a long, hard look inside at what life would be like without him. And, for an organization that still wants to believe it's, very close to the Stanley Cup, it'd be hard to claim that still when you lost your team captain for nothing. So I think in the end, the Avalanche came up a little bit, realized they don't necessarily want to know what's greener on the other side of the fence. Maybe they think they can still, win within their own recipe, so to speak. And, in the end, they believe that Landeskog would be the guy to lead them forward again, still.
All right, so there's still some hard questions to be had here because I was pulling up McKinnon's contract. They got another year of him, and then Now, he's making $7 million a year now, but he's got one more year, if I'm reading this correctly, and then they got to redo him, and he's going to want more than $7 million, I'm guessing?
Yeah, he's not making $7 million, Dan. He's making $6.3 million. That's his average.
It's showing me 6.85. Cap hit 6.3, but his base salary is 6.85.
Okay, maybe. I think he's got two more years left on his deal.
2001 and then 2003. Okay, so two more years, right. And they got to redo him. Okay, yeah. So
they got to pay him. He's going to only make 6.3 this year coming up, no matter what. And that's all he'll make in the final year of his deal, too. He can sign an extension, though, in that last year of his deal at any time. Like, you know, they can do it any time during the season. So they can extend him early in that quote-unquote sense before his contract now runs out. But, you know, the cap hit won't take effect till 22-23, I believe. Yeah.
Okay, so we got a goalie we need to resign, whether it's Grubauer or him. Don't they have to make a decision on Saad? They have some tough decisions. What are we going to do here, Mr. Dater?
Grubauer's still going to go till tomorrow. Nothing decided yet. I think they're fairly close, but this could go either way. Still, you know, that could be the bad news part of tomorrow, that they couldn't sign their number one goalie. I think they are close though, so I think it's not going to be decided till tomorrow. But I think the odds favor the Avs a little bit to re-sign him, but I wouldn't say it's 100% at all. What was your other question again?
Well, what about Saad and some other,
yeah,
at
Saad.
Some point they have to make some sacrifices, don't they?
Saad is gone.
He's
Saad
gone? Dang, man, yeah. That hurts. He was a player.
Yeah, no, I mean, they liked Saad. They thought, nice year, but in the end, I think he still thinks he's like a $6 million player. The free agent market, that just was not what the Avalanche's final verdict was on that. So he's gone.
He's gone. That hurts because he was actually, when some of the other guys were not stepping up, he was a nice piece of puzzle to have. But, Sakic had said, quite frankly, last year was kind of a luxury. They had to be that deep. They had some pieces they weren't going to be able to afford to keep, right?
Yeah. He was always kind of a luxury item on this team for the year he was here. But in the end, it did not result in a Stanley Cup. It did not result in, an amazing year from him. He had a nice year here, but it wasn't, statistically amazing at all. So when it came down to it, though, he's a $6 million. He was making $6 million already. He thought he had a pretty good year, so he thinks he can still get $6 million on the open market. But I don't think the Avalanche number one, I don't think he thought he was worth that so much anymore. Number two, that they wouldn't have the cap room either way if they thought that.
Okay, and then now, far be it from me to pat myself on the back here, and I don't know. I assume he'll be back because they opted to protect him. But Kadri, Dater, I think you were in this with me. But when the rest of these softies in the Denver media were losing their over the hit in the playoffs, and I was like, wait a minute, is this not still hockey? Like, are we not overreacting just a little bit? And they're like, get rid of this. This guy was a troublemaker when he first came here and this and that. It turns out maybe they did lose a little edge in that second round. Maybe they could have used that a little bit in the second round. But I was surprised when they opted to protect Kadri in the expansion draft. What's the story going to be with him?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. I thought it was, going to happen. I mean, say what you want about Nazem Kadri and all the penalty, and you want to debate how long it should have been, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, it did cost the team in the end, and that's, I know Nazem is, upset that that's how it happened. I talked to him for a pretty lengthy story I did on my site about a month ago, and, he's very, very sorry what happened, but he felt like it was overly harsh, the penalty, and the Avs don't have a way to replace him. If they want to just get rid of him or leave him unprotected, what do you have left? They didn't have enough left. They thought it's second line center. With Kadri, they were still a very good team, top team in the league points-wise. So, you know, their attitude on this is like, well, yeah, I kind of screwed up, obviously, but he didn't deserve 8 games. And either way, what are we going to do? We can't just cut him loose because we have no number 2 center otherwise. I mean, JT Compher was given that role in the playoffs, and quite frankly, he failed in that role. So they have a year left of Kadri at that price, and the situation in their mind is, let's just put that in the past and let's move forward to better days. We were good when you played, Nazem. Let's just keep working on that non-suspension thing in the playoffs.
Yeah, that non-suspension thing in the playoffs. All right, Dater, last one for you. Well, you know, the last time you and I spoke, you were on full-on panic mode, and I said, Adrian, settle down. Settle down, young man. You were talking about blowing the whole thing up, and as I said, yeah, settle down. They're talented. They're young. The people in the desert now have, I believe, still, they're still instilling the conferring favorite to win the Stanley Cup status on our young Avalanche team here. They're re-upping their stars. We're going to see what they do at goaltender. What do you think the prospects are? Your prognostication on the prospects for this Avalanche team moving forward, and do you think they're doing the right things, or are you sticking to your guns from the last time we spoke where they need to do something dramatic to get tougher?
No, I haven't changed much. I think they're still a very good team and will compete for the Cup. I don't know if they're the favorites yet, but I know that they kept enough of their pieces together from a very good team.
Well, they are the favorites, aren't they? Isn't that what they're saying?
They were. I think, you know, yes, they were before entering last week. So I was sort of assuming. I was starting to look at the worst here when we thought we might lose Landeskog and Grubauer together. I guess so. I think there's different odds for different sports books, but yeah, for the most part, the Avs seem to be the favorite. If they lose Philip Grubauer, though, tomorrow, their number one goalie. I'm not going to feel great about that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, some people think that's addition by subtraction. Is he a Stanley Cup goaltender?
Yeah, I don't think any serious hockey fans think that. But yeah, I mean, he hasn't won a cup yet. Okay, so neither have a lot of guys. He's still won a playoff round in the last 3 years, etc.
I don't know, man. He was up and down, very up and down in that Vegas series.
He's won 3 straight first-round playoff series, though, as a goalie for the Avalanche.
You can't win the cup in the first round, Dater. You know this.
Yes, but you got to get to the playoffs, too, Dan. So what are you going to, if you have a terrible goalie in the regular season, you don't get the playoffs, then, you got to get there first, I believe. It's very tough to win a Stanley Cup, last I checked. So it's not a shame on Philip Grubauer's record just yet that he hasn't won a cup. He's still won a lot of games as a goalie, and had one of the best years in the league last year in this position. So, what's your argument, Dan? I mean, all right, let him go. He didn't win a cup. Who's up next?
The argument is he really had been very helter-skelter up until he kind of came out of nowhere to have a Vezina quality season this past season. And then he really, the last couple games of the second round, he kind of melted down, didn't he, Dater? I mean,
I wouldn't say he came out of nowhere, though, Dan. I mean, he was traded for 2 second-round picks from the Capitals 3 years ago. People forget he actually won a lot of games in Washington. Actually, had the Stanley Cup ring on his finger. People forget he actually is a Stanley Cup winner. He was not the goalie when they won the games, but he was on the team. Oh. So, goaltending stuff, Dan, you can't just say, well, hey, yeah, this guy didn't win a cup. Yeah, neither, 30 other goalies in the league, and it's a tough thing to do. Marc-Andre Fleury, who won the Vezina Trophy this year, not only didn't even play the final game of the season for Vegas and didn't win a cup, but he got traded today to a lower-run team.
So. Oh, did he? I didn't see that.
Marc-Andre Fleury traded to Chicago, so it's a tough position. What have you done for me lately? But I think Grubauer's proven that he can be at least a very good goalie, at least get you to the playoffs.
So in your opinion, they can win a cup with him?
Sure. I think so. I mean, Chris Osgood won a cup with the Detroit Red Wings. If he could win a cup, anybody could win a cup.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry if you're listening. No, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, that is a kid. I know Chris a little bit, so I'm just kidding.
We're uploading.
He won a lot of games.
You know how crazy hockey guy is. We're uploading that to all the podcasts now. It's gonna take over the internet.
No, I'm just kidding. Chris Osgood. He's a great goalie and cup winner and he took a lot of grief from smart alecks like me when he won cups a lot of people thought, hey, I could win a cup with that team friendly, but trust me, it's not that easy. So
right.
Anyway, all right.
Okay, sir.
Yeah. Right, so, is awesome. I love him.
All right. Moving along. Okay, so all right, so that's it, right? They're primed for at least one more run.
Yeah, I mean, look, no, not just one, Dan. I mean, this could be, they've got some great pieces in place.
Well, James Merlat says they plateaued. James Merlat, our own from DenverFan.com, he says they've been plateaued for 3 or 4 years. Is he right?
Yeah. I like James. I don't think he's right on that. I think they're still, I don't think the word is plateaued. I think they still got a lot in the tank. There's a lot of prospects that we haven't really seen just yet come up that, can make a dramatic difference on the team. First of all, Bo Byram, the pick, defenseman, number four pick overall, was hurt a lot last year. So, Drew Helison, Justin Barron, Alex Newhook, Sampo Ranta. There's a lot of prospects still coming, nipping at the heels here.
What about Ty McCarr? Is he any good?
Who?
The little McCarr. Is it Tyler McCarr?
Oh, yeah. I just wrote a big story on him. I talked to his dad the other night. His dad is very high on Taylor McCarr's prospects. Says he's like a much bigger, feistier version of Kale, who, loves to get on your skin and be physical. The thing they have in common is, they're both draft picks of the Avs now, and his dad raved about him, I swear. He said he's going to make the Avs look like quote-unquote geniuses in a few years because of that. So, hey, sounds good there.
Well, yeah, his dad is, my mom, raves about me too, but looks where that's got.
Yeah.
No. All right, well, the future is bright for the Colorado Avalanche. Thank you, Adrian Dater from CO Hockey Now. You got any specials on subscriptions going on?
I do. Use the promo code 5OSS, that is numeral 5OSS, and get yourself 20% off a full year subscription at Colorado Hockey Now right now. Use that promo code 5OSS in the checkout box in a couple minutes, and you'll get a full year of my and others' hardworking content. Or $24.99 per year instead of $29.99. So, yes, thank you.
All right, there we go. Adrian Dater, thanks so much.
Okay, Dan.
Okay, Avs fans, there you go. No reason to panic.